In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food, or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the kings had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus.
We talk about the body of Christ, the people of God, being a light to the nations, and man, that sounds really good. And then there's a little voice in the back of some of your heads that goes, but how do we do that? What's that actually like once it stops just being a slogan that we declare in worship services, where for the most part the nations are not present? And how do we actually become a light to the nations? And this... the whole story of the book of Daniel begins with a time when God's people were terrible at being a light to the nations because they were exactly like all of the nations around them. And God sort of took matters into his own hands and said, okay, you don't want to be a light to the nations. I will force you. In my love, I'm going to destroy everything that you care about and send you into the midst of the nations. So you're going to have to leave your house in Judah and go and live in Babylon. That's what those opening verses are about. Right? In the third year of King Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came and laid siege to Jerusalem. We read over that like, you know, opening sentence, cool. That's the end of the world as they knew it for Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah and every other one of God's people. That's the destruction of Israel, the destruction of the temple where they worshipped. And they were dragged off into a foreign country, into the midst of the nations. And then if you are familiar with the book of Daniel, all of these extraordinary being a light to the nations kind of things happen. Daniel interprets dreams, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up to the evil king, and they go thrown into the fire, and they come out unscathed. And Daniel goes into the lion's den and comes out unscathed. And there's just cool story after cool story that we learn maybe in Sunday school, and now we read them and go, man, my life with God is not like that. I try and stay away from lion's dens and fires. I'm not sure what I would say if confronted with the king and asked to tell him what his dream was before I interpreted it or lose my life. But I'm just mostly hoping that never, ever happens to me. All of this begins, all of these extraordinary stories of these young men of God being a light to the nations begin with them refusing to eat the king's food and drink the king's drink. And that's critical. The story doesn't begin with one of these spectacular miracles. The story doesn't begin with the heavens opening up and God speaking from on high. The story doesn't begin with a great survival or a standoff. It begins with, we're not going to eat that. Because the message that Daniel is delivering, Daniel as a book, as a whole, is that being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. It doesn't begin with one spectacular confrontation with the emperor. It doesn't begin with one miraculous moment. Being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. So what's going on here? The emperor, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a policy of he would bring people from all over the lands that he conquered, and he would choose the best of the best and cultivate them to be a part of his court. And that there were two purposes in that. One was that he got the best and the brightest working for him. Right? It's like having first cut at hiring people from Stanford and Harvard and OSU engineering. Right? The other purpose was it decapitated the cultures that he had conquered. It got rid of all the people that might hold on to having a distinct identity that might lead a rebellion, which he was very much concerned about. So he's trying to grab the best and the brightest from the other side and bring them onto his side. That's what this is about. And Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they don't stand up and go, "This is evil. This is wrong. We're not going to have anything to do with this. We refuse to participate in this diabolical and oppressive process." They just say, "We're not going to eat that. We'll eat vegetables and we'll drink water." Right? And then they have, strangely enough, they have what all of us would hate to have if we went on a vegetables and water diet, which is that they're like 10 pounds heavier a few weeks later. Right? But this is their plan. This is their great, we are going to resist power, we're going to resist temptation, we're going to stand up to the king, not by defying him whole hog, but just by refusing to eat what he gives us to eat and eating something else instead. Something that's transparently inferior. You know, we're obsessed with vegetables because we were raised on McDonald's. There's no McDonald's back then. Right? You needed nutrients, you needed calories, you needed protein. They're choosing a diet that should be worse for them. Why are they doing this? Why pick this as a point of departure? Because being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. They're already in the midst of the nations. They're where God wants them to be, but how are they going to be there? Right? We're already in the midst of the nations. You know, 30, 50, 80, 150 years ago, Americans and Europeans would talk about going to the nations. We need to go to Africa. We need to go to India. We need to go to China and spread the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus where it isn't. Look, now the nations are here. You just need to go next door. Right? And I'm not just talking about like they're immigrants in Corvallis, but they're people that look just like me who know nothing of the gospel. they are the nations. We are every bit as much in the midst of the nations as Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael. So the question is, now that we're here, how are we going to be here? How are we going to be a light to the nations? And I propose to you that just as with Daniel and his friends, it begins with what we eat. Eating is a kind of strange thing if you think about it. God, in his infinite power, did not need to design people who had to nourish and replenish themselves several times a day, every day, for their entire lives. Right? We take that for granted because of the laws of matter and energy. But God wrote those laws. He could have written them differently. But he wrote them in a way that we would always have to eat. That we would go a few hours without eating and we start to get hungry. We would always need to replenish ourselves. We would have this habit of feeding. Right? And in a sense, it's the most mundane thing we do. Right? I can't even remember everything I ate yesterday. And frankly, I'd be embarrassed to list it all because it would sound like a ton of ridiculous food to eat. Right? But it's always going on. It's just always happening. And what Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah decide to do is to eat in a distinct way. In the midst of the nations, they're surrounded by people who speak a different language, who have different customs, who dress differently, who do everything differently. We're going to eat in a distinctive way. We're going to choose the most mundane and the most everyday thing that we have to do. And we're going to do it differently. Because we know that we're going to need that constant, ongoing reminder that we are different. We're going to have that. If we are going to actually be a light to the nations, if we are going to be, as God calls us to be, holy as he is holy, if we are going to be distinct, if we are going to be his people, if we're not going to make the mistake that God's people had made in their time and that God's people make in our time of being in the nations but being just like the nations, we're going to need reminder after reminder after reminder after reminder that we are different. We're going to need to not be able to do the most basic human things without reminding ourselves that we are different. And so they choose only vegetables and water. That's going way above and beyond the law, right? In the Old Testament law that they were subject to, they couldn't eat pork, no bacon. That's a big deal. Right? But they could have had a cheeseburger. They could have chicken. Right? There was lots that they could eat that wasn't vegetables. And there was lots that they could drink that wasn't water. But they choose this really distinctive, difficult way of eating so that they can remember at breakfast and at second breakfast and at elevensies and so on and so on and so on. We're different. We are the people of God. We are those who have been given the right to be called the children of God, and we are distinct. We are made to be a light to the nations. We are set apart. Over and over and over again, several times a day, every day. That's where being a light to the nations begins. In those constant reminders, in those, I can't get through the daily tasks, the basic doing the laundry, commuting to work kind of tasks, without being reminded that I belong to God alone and I worship God alone. Being a light to the nations doesn't begin with facing down lions and interpreting dreams. Being a light to the nations begins with eating. Begins with the everyday. Begins with the constant remembering of who we are and to whom we belong. So you see the obvious application and the obvious metaphor, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, right? To gather once a week and read this book and remember who we are is excellent and not remotely sufficient for being a light to the nations. You guys have heard of Martin Luther, right? This year, 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Martin Luther, in addition to being, you know, Martin Luther, was for many, many years just a regular preacher in Wittenberg and in other German cities. And most of his congregations didn't like him very much. And one congregation in particular came to him and complained, "We are so tired of hearing the same sermon every week. You just get up there and you talk about how our righteousness doesn't come from us and our righteousness comes from God, and then you pray and you say amen." And Luther said, "Look, I'm going to preach the same gospel every week until you people stop forgetting the same gospel every week." Right? We are expert forgetters. And having 167 hours, a whole week, between chances to remember, kills us. With the frequency that we eat vegetables or pork chops or kale salad or whatever it is, we need to eat of the Word of God. We need to remember. Now, does this mean that you read through 15 chapters a day every day? Maybe. That would be outstanding. It doesn't have to mean that. It can mean every morning you get up and you read a verse or a paragraph. And then throughout the day you go back to that verse and to that paragraph. Maybe, you know, we read, to remind ourselves of God's grace, we read John 1, 9 to 12. "The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God." Maybe eating the Word of God 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day means simply reading that passage for a day and saying, "God is my light, and I am his child. That is what Jesus won for me." Just remembering that. That's not some great and arduous achievement. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew or who on earth King Jehoiakim was in order to do that. But that is beginning with eating. That is beginning with feasting every day. Not just on bread, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that is the beginning of being a light to the nations. Now, certainly, to begin to be a light by the nations with eating should include this. It doesn't have to stop there. You can engage in all manner of daily tasks differently. Many of you, I mean, hopefully not that much today, drive. Right? We've sort of designed our society as much as possible to make it impossible to live without driving. Right? And, I mean, maybe you're a much better human being than I am, but probably you spend most of that time listening to something distracting or muttering / yelling at the people in front of you on the road. Just me? Right? My philosophy with profanity, yeah, always Janet. You know, my philosophy with profanity is I try and get it all out in the cab of the car by myself. No, what if you just drove differently? What if it was as simple as no radio, no podcast. I'm going to endeavor to listen to God whenever I'm in the car. That's what that time will be for. for silence and stillness. How hard is it to come by the silence and stillness that we need to hear from God, to remember who He is and who He made us to be in the world we live in today? What if you used driving for that? What if you used tasks that you can do entirely by yourself as times to be a brother and sister in Christ or a neighbor? I go to Winco, I don't know, 3, 7, 22 times a week. And every time I get to the front and I'm faced with the opportunity to go to the self-checkout and not have to talk to anybody and get through quicker and just be done with the thing. Or I can stand in line behind somebody who, you know, picks each item out of the cart like this. And then which way should I set it down on the belt? No, okay, fine, right? And spend 15 minutes tapping my foot, right? What if that were an opportunity to find out their name, to find out what's going on with them, to have as your goal for the conversation to ask the question, how can I pray for you? Look, there's lots of things that you can say trying to sort of broach the God subject that are risky. How can I pray for you is not risky. I have no idea how many people I've asked that question to. Some people say, no, not anything really. And that's about as vicious and offensive a response as I've ever gotten. People who want nothing to do with God will be grateful to you for asking that question. What if you did the everyday things differently, above and beyond immersing yourself in this book? Being a light to the nations sounds like a Herculean task, right? I read that and I think of, you know, men like Adoniram Judson, who was the first Protestant American missionary around 1800 and sailed to Burma. And along with his wife and his children, were the only Westerners in Burma for years and years and years, who spent time in prison, who lost two wives, who lost several children to tropical diseases that nobody in Boston, where he was from, had ever heard of. Saw a few dozen converts over decades of ministry. Invented a written Burmese language and translated the Bible into Burmese. That, when I think of Light to the Nations, I think of him, right? And I think, that ain't me, and it ain't going to be me, and I give up, right? Or I think of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar and lion's dens and statues and dreams and all kinds of craziness. Being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. It begins with the most mundane, most everyday. Being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. We began the service in Matthew 2, seeing that the arrival of Jesus was meant immediately to be a light to the nations. There's, on one level, absolutely nothing more profound and spectacular than the incarnation of God. And on another level, Jesus coming to earth means that God himself saved us by entering the mundane and the everyday. The incarnation means that God ate and slept wrong and woke up with a crick in his neck. That he walked and got calluses on his feet. That he sat, that he talked, that he laughed, that he cried. That he made friends, that he made enemies. He did all of the things that we do. But like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah before him, he did them differently. He entered into all of the everyday things. All of the tasks that we go through without thinking, or if we do think about them, it's just to roll our eyes and grumble that we have to deal with them. But he did them differently. being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. The greatest and the grandest and the most spectacular calling that there is for us begins with the granular, with the everyday, with the so boring that we haven't given it a second thought in years, with driving and standing in line at the grocery store, and Cheerios. Being a light to the nations begins with what we eat. It began that way for Jesus. It begins that way for us. And so the how question after the inspiring, you are a light to the nations that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. The how question isn't go find a lion and camp out next to it. It's not go and interpret a dream. How do you be a light to the nations? You eat differently this afternoon and tomorrow and the week after that and the year after that. And then we will be, in fact, as well as in name, the incarnate body of Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending us your Son. Thank you for being a light to the nations. Thank you for showing us a better way by being a better way. And now, Father, we ask for strength to do even these simple things, to eat differently. Because we know, Father, that as simple as they are and as straightforward as they sound, while we sit here and talk about them together, we will forget. And they will be hard beyond our comprehension. So we ask for your mercy, and we ask for your strength, and we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, crying out to us always, look, behold the grace and the truth of God. Walk as children of the light. Be the light to the nations you were meant to be. Eat differently. Give us eyes to see your glory. Give us ears to hear your Spirit. Give us strength to be your children. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.